It's really about building the work habits. It's about the mentality. And obviously, we have to embrace the things that are less than ideal.
Today, on the Rising Coaches podcast, we get the opportunity to speak with the current manager of basketball operations at Grand Rapids Gold, Coach Amit Taylor. Coach Taylor has a wide range of knowledge, expanding from a game day statistician with the Chicago Bulls, a scout for the Knicks and Net Scouts basketball, as well as an assistant for the University of Florida, Santa Clara University, Clemson, and assisting with USA Basketball. Most recently, Coach Taylor was a video and player development associate with the Houston Rockets, and now currently with the Denver Nuggets G League team, the Grand Rapids Gold. Please welcome Coach Amit Taylor. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. You got Doug Caputo and Alan Major here today. And on the podcast, we get the pleasure of speaking with the current manager of basketball operations with the Denver Nuggets G League team, the Grand Rapids Gold, Coach Amit Taylor. Coach Taylor, what's going on?
What's going on? We're just trying to finish up into All-Star break. We got a second end of a back-to-back tonight, so trying to finish this thing out right.
You guys, man, I got the ultimate respect for you guys' schedule, man. I mean, it's just like, you know, that switch stays on. So thankfully, you get a few days here to kind of catch your breath a little bit coming up.
Now, the breaks are nice, that's for sure.
I'll bet.
So, unlike in college when you have an off day, when you still got to go to the office and do stuff, off days in the league are complete off days. Like, players don't show up, coaches don't show up.
So right.
Off day means off, you know?
Well, we're fortunate to be able to steal you during your off time then. So thank you. Thanks for helping out. So one thing, like, we want to dive right into, as we mentioned, you are the manager of the basketball operations with Grand Rapids Gold. So one thing that we want to talk about is just kind of talk about that position. You know, what does it entail? Some day-to-day things that you go through and just kind of give us a day in the life.
Yeah. So I would say this compares to the director of basketball operations position on a lot of college staffs where you're dealing with logistics and travel and, you know, a little bit of coaching responsibility, a little bit of management responsibility and kind of whatever comes your way. So you get the weird ones, like especially with the way our assignments and two ways work where players get sent down. So you just got to make sure they have all their apartment situated, the right gear, the right keys to their places, and basically anything they need, anything the players need, anything the coaches need, you got to kind of be on top of and think ahead of them for it.
It's almost like a job description is whatever it takes.
That's a lot of our job, right? You know, we had a meeting as a staff yesterday, and it came down to you either played in the NBA, or especially at this level, you either played in the NBA or you didn't. And if you're like a majority of us in the boat of didn't play in the NBA, it's whatever it takes, to your point, coach.
And then with that position too, I mean, if you could just enlighten us, give us some idea as to, obviously there were a lot of steps. You don't have to go by every single one, but building up to where you're at now. So, I mean, very brief, you were with most recently the Houston Rockets, Clemson, and I know you were had a stint when you were helped out with USA Basketball as well. So if you could just kind of give us how you ended up getting this, how you ended up getting this position and just kind of the way that the steps that it took for you to be able to get to where you are.
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, the reason I got this position is probably from relationships that I formed across the board, both in college and in the league. And people talk, right? And so when jobs become open and you become involved with them and go through the interview process, the first thing some people are going to do is make some calls to references of yours or people you've worked with, people they mutually know. And so really, it's probably a very relationship-driven thing, how people move from one place to the next. And so how I was prepared was I've kind of done almost every job along the way, right? USA Basketball, you're kind of shuttling guys to and from the airport. You're doing the laundry. You're setting up the gym, whatever, you know, sweeping the floor, what all of it, you know, whatever, you know, back to coach's point, whatever it takes. Obviously, you know, I think the majority of my time has been spent in video and player development and on the coaching side. So, and that's my ultimate goal is to coach in the league. So, being prepared that way started at the University of Florida, where they took a chance on me and just kind of threw me into the fire and said, figure it out. And a lot of it is that's another thing. Like, you're going to get thrown into the fire and say, figure it out. I'd never, until I got to this position, I'd never dealt with travel. I never dealt with logistics. And a lot of it was just throw yourself into the fire and see what you can figure out.
Yeah, it's fun. That's actually where we met, was USA Basketball in Colorado Springs in 2016. So I think you were with Troy Brown and Trey Young and Markelle Fultz and that group, I believe.
A lot of pros have come through there.
Oh, man. So,
and that's the other piece of it, right? When you're around players that make it to this level, those players, if you make a good impact on them, they'll remember you to this day. Like, I see a lot of these guys now when I'm in the league, and we still talk about our time at USA Basketball all those years ago now.
Yeah, no, it's great stuff, man. And how much right now, I know you got your hand in everything right now, from a basketball perspective, like, what's the scope of the basketball stuff that you're able to kind of dig into with the gold?
So Coach Miller, Andre Miller, who, you know, legendary player in the league and legendary Denver Nuggets, has been really, really kind to everybody here, and particularly me. And he throws me scouts every now and then. So, and unfortunately, my first one didn't go so well. We went to Mexico City, and that's like a setup for failure to almost anything. Because we got news about Mexico City. But one, they play like a helter-skelter style, chaotic. And two, the altitude there is about 200 feet above sea level, which is, if I'm not mistaken, about 1.5 times of Denver's altitude. So it's a major, major adjustment. So you don't necessarily go there with too many advantages. And so I think we got blown out by 40. And I looked over at our coaching staff during the game, and they looked back at me and said, bad scout. Of course. I looked at him and said, you know what? I probably should have watched more tape leading up to this. So my hands are involved in a little bit of scouting, some of our player evals, and then just kind of, I would call it quality control from our coaches. Like, our coaches send out reports every game, after every game, and we have a group called quality control, and I kind of help oversee the quality control group.
Yeah, almost kind of like a post game autopsy.
Yeah.
Type of deal.
Yeah.
The scouting report didn't have the air quality up there in the gym. Anything about the height, the sea level?
For sure, 100% why we lost.
And one thing too, especially you're working with some of the top tier athletes, as we mentioned. So talk about, like, maybe on the side of, I don't know if necessarily you handle it much, but just like the player development side, especially with being in the G League, because that's a huge part of the G League is the player development. So just talk about, like, maybe the things that you guys kind of work with there and how you help those guys either get to the NBA or get to somewhere overseas or wherever you might send them.
Yeah, I think, you know, our coaches outlined it really well at the beginning of the year, and they said, let's, you know, obviously we don't want to stay in the G League, not even as coaches or management, but we all want to find ourselves in better basketball situations this season or whatever from now on. And so it's really about building the work habits. It's about the mentality. And obviously we have to embrace some things that are less than ideal. Our travel is especially coming in and out of Grand Rapids, our travel is less than ideal. We always take connecting flights. So it's just like embracing these little things. Now, to specifically player development, I'm kind of involved. We have a coach that oversees all that stuff, and he's like very experienced in it, has had probably over 10 years in the NBA doing that exact job, and at various different stops. He's worked with some elite players too. So being around him has been huge for my development on the player development side. And, you know, he throws me into every drill. He throws me into just about whatever he can throw me into. So that's been.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's almost like the G League is a developmental deal for everybody. You know, obviously the focus is the players, you know, those guys either getting another opportunity to get called up or, you know, obviously overseas teams, when they see a guy's been in the G League, that's a feather in guys' caps, you know, just because of the NBA affiliation. But it's really, like you just said, for the players and coaches too, it's a developmental situation. Like, everybody's trying to develop in a way to try to move forward.
100%. And that's, you know, part of the reason I took the opportunity to work here was because, you know, I probably needed more time and you know, this isn't to discount my time in Houston, because I was on the floor and a lot of things in Houston. But now, because we're such short staffed compared to the NBA side, your hands are going to be involved in everything. You literally get to do everything.
Yeah, we say that on this pod a lot and on this platform, man. Just, you know, just how important it is that guys not pick, you know, like, you don't always get to pick and choose, you know, the things that you get to do, like, you know, the role that you're given, you know, whatever that role is, like, just try to be a star in your role, as opposed to like, yeah, I'll do this, but .. You know, I wish I was doing something else. Like, it doesn't always work that way. Like, you just gotta, like you just said, I love the phrase you said, throw yourself into the fire, because, you know, you might get burned a few times on the way, but, you know, you develop some asbestos exterior along the way.
The experience teaches you, you know, you learn, and you're going to, if you make mistakes, you'll probably learn from them, you hope. And I've made my share of mistakes here, because I didn't know anything about a lot of the stuff I'm doing right now, but, you know, little by little, you figure it out. You just need the chance and freedom to do it.
Yeah. Sometimes you can get discouraged and let those mistakes kind of set you back, but ultimately those are the things that are helping you kind of be more successful in the long haul.
Right.
So, especially for you, like, one thing that we want to talk about is just the G League in general. So you guys, as we mentioned before, and I kind of want to circle back to that, is you guys have guys coming in and out on a frequent basis. So just talk about, you know, the importance of developing your bench and keeping in those guys' minds, like, you're one injury, one movement, whatever it may be. Like, how do you guys really emphasize the importance on that for your whole team?
Well, I think you just said it. You have to tell them, you know, obviously it's a business, right? And the affiliate teams have spent and invested the most money in those guys that are either two ways or assignments, right? And so I think there's a general understanding at the very beginning, and you set the tone and say, look, it's, you know, you tell everybody it's a business and this is how it's going to go. These guys are going to be in and they're going to be here to do exactly what management and the coaching staff up there tells them to do. And you guys have to be okay with it. And you guys, in your time, when it's just your time, you guys got to do the best job you can to stay locked in and take ownership of your own development improvement.
Yeah. And how would you, you almost kind of answered my question in a way with saying that, because how would you suggest college coaches the importance of developing your bench? You know, some guys in college will play, you know, seven guys, and that's like, hey, that's just my style. I play seven guys. Well, you know, what could college coaches that typically are shorter rotation guys learn from what you're experiencing now in terms of just continuing to develop 8, 9, 10?
Obviously it starts with the mentality and having the right players or people around, and then obviously being these players, one, the players probably got to be self-starters to some degree. Two, they got to be willing to put in their time. And three, I think they really have to be, they have to love it, right? They got to know, especially those 7, 8, 9, 10 guys are going to have to know, yes, like, I'm not going to play 20 minutes. Say your number four goes down. You just got to be ready. And you never know when that could happen. It could be a year. It could be a week. It could be a few days, a few games, but you always have to stay ready. Now, one thing in the league is different is like, the guys that are at the end of the bench aren't necessarily getting the same, like, practice reps or game reps that, like, our rookies in two ways aren't getting the same reps that, say, like, a Jamal Murray and a Nikola Jokic are getting. So they're down here to get their game reps in. But when they're up there with the team, they're playing 3-on-3 and 4-on-4 against, the coaches that are, like, former NBA players. Like, they've got Daryl Arthur up there, who's, like, 7 feet tall. You know, you probably remember
him. Oh, yeah, played at Kansas, right, right.
You know, he's in the stay-ready game. We call them stay-ready games. And we did this in Houston, too. Anytime, like, the rookies in two ways were not playing much, or the low-minute guys on a back-to-back, at least, the next day, pregame or, you know, at 8:30 in the morning, they play stay-ready games.
Yeah, I like that phrase.
It's a culture thing. I haven't seen it much. I know summertime is like the time people in college play pickup, but like that's a thing in the league. Like they have to play stay ready games.
Yeah, and usually, what's the cutoff? Is it 15 minutes or less?
It's interesting. I think the training staffs have so much more influence at this level than say in college. Like your trainer will just say, yeah, he's good, or no, he's not good, or he's on a minute restriction. Our guys will say minute restriction, whether somebody can practice, how much somebody can practice. And say they have a stay ready game to play, they'll say like, you can only play this many rounds of it.
Okay. Gotcha.
That's nice.
Gotcha. And that could either be 3-on-3 half court, or it could be even up to 4-on-4 or 5-on-5 up and down, just depending on. Yeah.
And obviously it depends on the number of bodies you have available. Like not like a week or two ago, we had 16 or 17 bodies available, but tonight we only have like 10.
That would see that ever changing would just make things extremely interesting.
It's for sure different. Obviously it's, that's the way business is done here. And I say that it is a business. And so it's not like college. This is like you really feel the business end of it when you're at this level.
Yeah. I can also see, though, how that makes you better from the standpoint of like, okay, this is what we got tonight. Yeah. How do we maximize what we got, and how do we maximize who we have today?
Like when we go to practice and we have like we'll have way more practice time than the NBA teams usually do. But one of the first things we write up on the board is who we have available for that day after you count for assignments, rookies, two ways, injuries, all that.
And your guys' practice styles too. I mean, when you have your practices, I guess, like, what does a typical one look like? Are you doing, especially right now in season, are you doing a lot more like physical stuff, or are you just doing more kind of, individual skill based stuff, or what does that look like?
I would say we have, on a longer day, we'll have one segment of practice that's a little bit like good versus good, or like contact. Full contact, like go players versus players. But a lot of the time it's like 15 to 20 minutes of player development and like some shell and defensive principles against the coaches. That is game specific, right? Like coaches will run the action, or like you'll if you have enough bodies, you'll throw some of the players at the end of the bench onto that. But a lot of the time it's the coaches running the action of the other team.
Are you jumping in there still?
I you know what? I am. I get thrown in there probably 80% of the time. Just because we have that few bodies a lot of the time.
You're probably in the best shape of your life right now, man.
No question. That's the other thing, right? Like our player development coach is always talking about being in world-class shape, not just to the players, but to us as coaches. He's like, if you are in world-class shape, the whole world opens up for you. And that's a really, really I see it now, especially over the last 2 years in the league. It is a huge difference maker. Guys, I don't know if any of you guys have experienced the NBA lifestyle, but the NBA lifestyle is very different compared to college.
we were talking about that when you were here in town. I remember you saying that.
Obviously, when you're at a place like Butler or Clemson or whatever, you're flying private, and private flights had levels to them. And I remember getting on and off the flight when I traveled with Houston at the end of last year. We traveled at Clemson, but this is like, holy cow, this is like another world that you guys live in.
Yeah. No, it's like a hotel in the air.
No, it's unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. And I can only tell people about it. I can't show them until they're actually like sitting on the plane or having the meal with me or staying in that hotel with me.
So what are some ways, especially with this ever-changing roster, like what are some ways that you guys help grow or maintain or even keep a culture on a day-to-day basis? Because especially with a new person stepping in, I mean, you could get somebody new and you have no idea who they are, nothing about them other than their playing abilities. Like, how do you guys maintain and grow that culture?
So I think it starts at the top, right? And with our management and our people up in Denver, I think they do a pretty good job of like making sure the people they bring in fit what they want in terms of like their core principles and core values. So, obviously that's the first filter. And then from there, like if you're not about it, it's really easy to tell if you're not about what they want you to be about and you'll kind of weed yourself out that way. So that's number one. And then maintaining that is obviously like we have good guys around them and they know what the standards are and they are, pretty accountable and hold other people that come in and out of here accountable to those standards. Now, given the fluidity of all that, and given the mandates from coaching staffs and management saying like, hey, so-and-so's down tonight. He's got to play 40 minutes and he's got to take 20 shots or whatever. You know, again, there's an understanding. This is a business. These guys have had, you know, 4-year contracts invested in them, and they're going to get the first right of refusal to take 20 shots a game.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's right.
And you have to be okay with it. Otherwise you won't be here.
Yeah. Yeah. And then how challenging is it? And, you know, I've always said this, players at whether it's G League level, NBA level, oftentimes don't get enough credit for how smart they are. And then so when guys coming in and out of the door, how challenging is it? Because now you're trying to relay like your language, right? Like in terms of terminology, concepts. Sometimes they did something the same way, but it's just called something different with you guys, yep. Right? You have a different name for it. How challenging is that? And do you find guys are able to pick up things pretty quickly, you know, in terms of just the X and O and terminology and the language part of things?
I think, you know, if the more you watch the NBA and my realization, and like I was involved in a lot of I had like 10 teams that I had to do scouts for last year in Houston. And what I realized was everybody runs almost the exact same stuff. They just call it different. They just call it different. Like what we would call a double drag, somebody might call something else. And it's the exact same thing. They do it the exact same way. They just call it a different. To your point, these are really, really smart players. We've got a couple guys who are complete basketball savants and they know exactly what to do. You could throw them in a situation or introduce new stuff to them and they'd figure it out really quickly. And you have ones that you've got to walk through it with a few times and you got everything in between. But like for the most part, people pick the stuff up pretty well. Like if we called it 77 and somebody else called it double drag, I think stuff like that, or like you call it a down versus an ice in the ball. I think that stuff gets picked up. Now, picking up the terminology is one thing. Being able to execute it is a whole different thing.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of gray area there. You either can or you can't. It's not so much about whether you understand. It's like you can or you can't.
Me and Alan were talking about earlier this morning. Just every now and then we'll just have conversations about just like X's and O's and stuff. And he was talking about, I told him there was this thing that we called a VBAC. And he goes, oh yeah, I got a completely different name for that. So that was actually like, I'm glad you answered it that way, because we have so many different ways to call things. You know, for you, I mean, you just mentioned something and I would say that's what we used to call Zoom. I mean, there's so many different ways and terminologies that you can change everything. So it's, yeah, definitely being able to instill that into the guys is, I'm sure it'd be pretty interesting. But because you said you have a lot of smart kids, but I'm sure you don't have to necessarily speak. I'm sure you get one or two people here and there that are just like kind of oblivious to, or not necessarily grasping all of it as much as you would like.
Usually you see stuff like that in like a tryout or a training camp where people just, you know, you have the spectrum of no at all versus really, really smart and figure stuff out.
Yeah.
And then everything in between. And if you don't know, you're probably not, you know, the right fit for us. And if you like, you know, basketball stuff. And when it comes to that, like you're either good enough to be here or you're not.
Right. Yeah. No doubt.
Can't know a play. You can't play in college. If you can't know a play and play in college, how are you going to even play at the professional level?
Right. And if you can't remember stuff like that stuff, people like our management comes down and like when people gather intel and stuff like that comes up in your report. That might be a reason you fall in the draft or you fall on the boards or people don't take a chance on you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And guys don't realize how fast that word.
Oh, it's a small world. Really, really small world.
Right. If you had to give advice to college coaches, and majority of listeners on Rising Coaches are college, but we have all levels from youth all the way up to NBA, that people that either follow or are members. How would you now, in this current state of basketball that we're in, how would you say, if you had some guys that are capable of playing beyond college, what are a few ways that coaches can best prepare their guys? Not that that's the sole focus, like, yeah, I'm getting you ready. But in a sense, if you're trying to develop them and get them ready to play their best for you, they're going to also be ready to kind of move forward and play at another level as well. Right. So how would you best kind of say, okay, A, B, and C, these three things or two things or four things would really help guys be prepared to transition most to a next level?
So I think it starts with what I mentioned earlier. Number one, be in world-class shape, right? And that's like a core principle of us, or at least, you know, the coach I work with most closely, he's been saying that since day one, be in world-class shape. And then, you know, some of our core values are work hard, work long, work on your shooting, and play ones. And you'd be surprised, like a lot of teams post practice, these guys will play, especially some of the younger dudes that are lower minute guys, they'll play ones, they'll play twos or threes or something like that. But just the competitiveness of playing something like one-on-one, like I'll never forget this. I went to go watch the Toronto Raptors in training camp the year they won the title. And maybe I showed up an hour before their practice time was started. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, two established veterans in the NBA, go extremely hard playing one-on-one against each other. So if those two guys can do that, then there's no excuse for anything else.
Yeah. I saw something the other day and it was talking about basics and working on the basics. And there was an influencer on social media who was saying that, oh yeah, this drill is not good. It was the Mike and drill and things like that. I'm just thinking, I'm like, the basics, at least going off of what Kobe says, right? I'm going to take Kobe's word over anybody. But he talks about how, you know, the basics are so important, being able to grow in the game and just being able to work on your skills. But before we cut to the final segment, Al, do you have any final comments, questions to add on?
No, man, this has been awesome. I mean, I just love some of the, you've been dropping some dimes, man. I mean, throw yourself in the fire, you know, stay ready games. I love, because I think that's an area that especially the college game could really help guys stay ready. I think typically it's post practice. Maybe those guys get shots.
Right.
And that's it, you know, and I don't know what you guys did at Clemson. You probably remember, but
same old, it was guys get with their whatever position coach and shoot for 15 minutes or whatever. Or
yeah.
It's whatever it was, but like to me, it's like you guys got to. The shooting is fine, but you got to play. You got to be put into competitive situations.
No question. No, I love it. Whether it's again 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, half court, three quarter, or you know, full court, whatever it is. But no, that's great. But no, this has been good stuff, man. I know you're busy, so we'll move to our last little family feud segment to get to know you a little bit better as a person. Dougie will take control of that.
Basically, it's just a final segment called Three Quick Hitters, and what we'll do is we'll ask you three questions, just answering what you feel. These ones are more tailored towards basketball specifics. Okay. So, and then we'll wrap it up with the final question at the end. So, first one, our first quick hitter would be, coming out of a timeout, do you have, just on the back of your mind, maybe not necessarily anything that the Grand Rapids run, but do you have an out-of-bounds play that you prefer? This is like your – this is my out-of-bounds play.
Baseline or side – baseline for sure. Sideline I'd have to think about.
Baseline. Can you talk us through the baseline? We want to get a little X's and O's on it.
Yeah, so we called this play Cash last year in Houston. And
I already like it already. I like the name.
Like a lob dunk. We would get somebody on the back door almost once a game. And for like I kept saying it to our staff. I said, I don't know how this play is so unguardable, but I like it. So you line up three guys across the free throw line in a tight formation. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what off the top of my head. And then the five man's in the corner opposite the ball. And so it might be the four or the five. We ran two variations of it. There's a big, and then there's two wings or a guard. And Eric Gordon was one of those guys who would always get the back cut. KJ Martin would always get the lob. But it's basically like a little wrap screen. And then you always have one guy go to the corner, one guy go to the ball side corner, one guy go to the ball to the basket. And a lot of the times, the guy going to the basket would sell it as a back door and just slip, or you'd get the first guy to slip. But either way, the principle was get one to the basket, one to the corner. And so, I mean, it'd be easier if I could show you, but I don't have my computer with me on it. But that was my go-to baseline out.
Yeah, I'll send it to you when you get a chance, man. Please do. Yeah.
Just looking for a nice quick out of bounds. Change it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, especially this time of year, late February, time for wrinkles. Right.
A game to throw or a play to throw in last second. But then, so the second question is, when you're losing, say you're losing in a game, when is your time to start fouling? Or I should say, do you start fouling? And then if so, when would that time be?
I have a really different way of thinking about some of this stuff. So like if we have experimental rule in the G League where they got once you get to the bonus inside of outside of the fourth quarter, inside of 2 minutes, it's one shot, one free throw attempt for 2 points. I don't know if you remember that, Coach, but it's one free throw attempt for 2 points. So I don't know if I'd do a whole lot of it here unless there was a notoriously bad free throw shooter. And then, but if I'm in college and I have one and ones, I'd start fouling. If there's bad free throw shooters on the floor and that person touches the ball, I'm fouling that person and, you know, kind of playing some mind games with them, saying, I dare you to make a free throw. Like, I would start doing that almost right away.
Yeah, and trying to extend the game,
but like, you know, start playing mind games with people.
And the final quick hitter is, what is one thing, doesn't necessarily have to be a specific role, but one thing that maybe you kind of teaching the youth, what's one thing you would have done differently in previous roles? You're like, maybe I could have done this better, maybe I could have done this differently, just to kind of give some more ideas to the younger crowd that are listening.
I think I would have invested in terms of a relationship with more people that were around me, right? Like, I'm still in touch with a lot of the people I started in the business off with, but I wish I did a better job investing and keeping in touch with people. And I think that's just underrated and so valuable.
No, that's great. Especially going, it completely ties back to one of the very first things you said too, was relationships got me to ultimately where I am. So, I mean, that's putting a little ribbon on the gift right there.
And I wish I did it with more intent. Like there are people that I'm very close with to this day, but I wish I would have been more intentional about it, knowing how much more that could have carried me.
No, that's well said, man. We part of Rising Coaches, it's got a double meaning. You know, and the first part is, you know, guys finding ways to grow and develop and move themselves up whatever ladder they view that they're trying to climb. But the other thing about Rising Coaches is everything we put out on this platform, we want to raise the profession as a whole as well. Sure. So it's not about individually guys raising. That's part of it. But then the second part is, hey, man, let's raise everybody. So that's great advice, because we talk about the networking piece a lot and just throwing yourself out there.
And then the final question before we get to the closing remarks after is, if you had to pick one piece of advice, I know you honestly, you just gave a great one there, but if there was another piece of advice for young rising coaches trying to get their foot in the door, how can they accomplish that piece of advice?
Start as early as you can. Start as early as you can.
Yeah.
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 Perfect. And in what ways, like, would you say, because camps have changed a little bit, right? Like the camp thing, it's more AAU now, but.
I honestly don't know. It's like whatever you can do to get into something where you're around it at whatever level you want to be around it, whether it's like go to the college camps, go to the draft agency workouts if you can, go to all the summer league and, you know, Final Four and whatever, wherever you can throw yourself around it, where people will be, just as early and often as you can.
I mean, they always say if you want something that bad, you'll find a way to make it work.
100%.
Any final comments, anything left to throw in there before we wrap her up?
No, man, again, we've been talking about this, and thank you so much for making it work. I know you're busy, but
time worked out. This is perfect.
Yeah, but more importantly, enjoy, you know, shutting the phone off as much as you can here for a little stretch.
Right, yeah, no. I'm
Do not disturb mode, man. Do not disturb.
Definitely looking forward to going home for a few days.
Nice. It's good stuff, man. But, yeah, thank you again, and Dougie will close us out, and then but this has been awesome, man. You dropped some dimes, man, big time.
No, thanks for having me. This is great. Glad I could do it.
Coach Taylor, thank you for sharing all your knowledge with us, and obviously best of luck throughout the rest of the season. And that does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. You got Doug Caputo and Alan Major. Keep working, keep rising, coaches.
Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches Podcast. For an additional $300 off, select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.